Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
So it's Valentine's Day as we're recording, and my children are taking Valentine's to their schools to their school. And we were told, though, they can take Valentine's, but the candy is frowned upon. Lofa.
That's I don't know, man. I don't know what to say. I mean, I know Brendan probably agrees with no candy. Yeah. No sugar for this guy. Look at that.
Brendan, I'm Badejo, our guest. Welcome to the cold open, sir. Candy, are you frowning upon candy, Mr. Fitness?
Nah, I mean, you got to have anything's good in moderation, you know, especially if you're a kid, you got so much energy. So I'm a candy guy. I don't necessarily like the hearts, you know, like the sweet sugary hearts and all that, the little I love you hearts, but you can't ever say no to chocolate, can you?
Yeah. There you go.
You're a kid. Yes. It's Valentine's Day. I mean, moderation. It only comes around once a year. Come on now.
You got Easter and you got Christmas, and then leading up to Christmas, you know, you do Halloween. The whole tree and you're opening up one for the whole month. You're opening up one thing a day, or if it's Hanukkah and Halloween, like there's so
that's
much
a good
candy,
point. And then don't forget Friday and Saturday, and then there's Sunday too, and then
there's
like
also Tuesday.
You know, a random Monday.
I'm luckily not a big sweet guy.
No,
but I do. Yeah, candy. Like when Halloween comes around. I like the hard stuff.
What's your go-to?
Sour Patch Kids.
Give me the hard
Sour
stuff.
Patch. Okay.
And sour Skittles. Oh man, love those things.
Oh yeah, I kind of go for the fruit flavored candies also, whether they're hard or the chewier ones, like Starburst. Oof. I like some Starburst.
Taffies. You know what? I don't really like candy. I'm more of like a chocolate and nuts guy. Mm. But you know what got me was the gummy worms with chamoy and tahine. So they're sweet, salty, and spicy all at the same time.
Man, they're doing some dangerous stuff with candy out there right now. DK Metcalf, Seahawk, said in an interview that's pretty much what he eats all day long is like candy and sugar.
Wow. Well, if he keeps doing that, he's going to look like his dad, Terrence Metcalf.
You played with Terrence, didn't you?
I did play with Terrence. Terrence was a monster.
Wow.
In a good way. In a good way. In a compliment. In a complimentary way.
Yeah, totally.
T-Mac.
May we all someday strive to look like any of you, to be honest. should we start this show, talk some big game, and wrap out our season, Lofa?
Play the theme song, man.
If you want to run uncut, unapologetic from the jump, and no politics in this club, just dirt from the streets and the creeks in the mud.
Take 12,
best podcast for the Seahawks, number one sports talk, yeah, we got it on live.
Take 12,
every episode 12 hot takes, and we repping for Seattle, my place.
Take 12.
It's the Take 12 podcast on the Believe Sports Network. Thanks for joining us. I am Brett. That is Lofa. And we are joined on this episode by our very special guest, Brendan Iannbadejo.
Yay!
NFL baller. You guys know
him. Savage.
Oh, yeah. Still, I mean, I would never wear sleeves if I had arms like that. I was going to say, still not rocking sleeves, but I mean, I just... forever no sleeves on our man. Let's talk some fitness here. And of course, we'll get into the big game and wrap out our season. But first, let's chat about some wieners. Wiener Schnitzel, to be exact. Two locations in Western Washington, Everett and Fife. Go on in. They got a drive-through, but you can also stop in and say hi to everybody there in person, Dom and the team. They've been our loyal sponsor all season. We really appreciate them and their partnership and everything. And why wouldn't we? They make delicious corn dogs and chili dogs, chili burgers, a root beer float. I mean, even Brendan would tell you a cheat day every once in a while, everybody, is okay. And especially at Wiener Schnitzel, right, Lofa, huh?
I think it might be cheat meal. I don't know about cheat day. That's a long day.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot of corn dogs if you're there all day.
But Wiener Schnitzel is the spot, if that's what you're looking for. Got it all.
Chili sauce, man. Also, meatball sandwiches right now.
That's right.
at Wiener Schnitzel. And so protein and carb load.
If you're not in Washington and you still want to go to Wiener Schnitzel, they have shrimp po' boys at other places. But wow. Listen.
Washington goes meatball.
Washington goes meatball.
Okay. Thank you for producer Katie. Brendan, root beer float. Are you a root beer float guy?
Man, I grew up going to Wiener Schnitzel, the little pitch right. roof, you know, the pointy roof right there. I was like, man, how's anyone ever going to climb on that roof? They're not going to. But yeah, chili dog myself. But
nice.
It's been a while.
Yes.
Well, go in and mention Take 12, our podcast. You get a free small beverage with any other purchase. It's Wiener Schnitzel in Western Washington, Everett and Fife. Lofa, Brendan, big game this last weekend, of course. A Super Bowl for the ages, it was shaping up to be. Back and forth game, very exciting. Lots of plays, fumble recoveries, punt returns, long bombs, runs, I mean, hits. That game had every injuries, comeback players. I mean, Lofa, take it away.
It was exciting. I mean, it was one of the best Super Bowls we had watched in recent years, man. I was thoroughly impressed, you know, by both quarterback play. You know, I was a little let down by the defenses, but I mean, I guess it's really just shows you how good these two quarterbacks are. And like you said, Mahomes coming back from injury, Hurts answering every single touchdown that Mahomes did when he had the opportunity. It was, man, they showcased their talent. And either one of those guys could have won. You could have made an argument that Hurts got MVP even in a loss. But yeah. But man, what Mahomes has done in his first 5 years is incredible.
Yeah. Brendan?
Yeah, I mean, I was excited. I played in the first Super Bowl with two black head coaches, you know. And so to see the first Super Bowl with two black quarterbacks and honor Doug Williams as well prior to that Super Bowl, the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. But it was an amazing game. The quarterback play was great. The defense played when they had to play. It was kind of like a bend, kind of don't break. But, you know, the Eagles defense did break. But, yeah, just a lot of drama into the game. Halftime was dope with Rihanna. It was a great game. It was an exciting game. But you give Andy Reid just time just to figure out what your team is doing. Then he started doing that little yo-yo and got two easy touchdowns off of that. Like, he just figured it out. And that's just Andy Reid. That's what he does. Andy had fun. He came out of the huddles and did some circuitry and showmanship. Like, it's the biggest game, but they're still going to have fun and be true to how they play football. So, Dave Tobe, special teams, almost had the first punt return for a touchdown. He had Devin Hester for a touchdown when we played Chicago and Indianapolis. He could have got a punt return for a touchdown, too. He was super close, but it was an awesome game. You can't ask for anything more out of a Super Bowl game.
Yeah, let's get into it specifically. So beginning of the game, Eagles come out, and their offense is just clicking on all cylinders. When the game is done, Jalen ends up with, what, three rushing touchdowns, another one passing. Mm-hmm. Maybe he snuck another one in there. But they were on fire, and they had the Chiefs right where they wanted them. And then, I mean, Mahomes was even injured. And then everything turned around. Lofa, at least the first half, let's talk about the first half and the Eagles. I mean, they were just taking it to the Chiefs and it looked like they had it.
Running away with it.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. They went in up 10, but, you know, that fumble, you know, just, you know, allowed them to get back into the game. And you can't give Mahomes any extra help. Mm-hmm. And but I did. I was at Tulalip at the casino resort. We had a little party down there. And so there's a lot of people, and I did a pregame show. And they asked me who's one of my favorites to watch or who's the guy I want to watch. And Nick Bolton was the guy I highlighted. And this is an under guy, you know, undersized guy, you know, like myself. And you know, he didn't run a great 40 at the combine and everything. I think he went third round. Probably, you know, after seeing that performance, I think they would have taken him a little earlier because he's only in his second year. But he even had another one called back that they ruled wasn't a catch. But thrilled for the kid. He was all over the place, 8 or 9 tackles, a touchdown. He just always seems to make big plays. And yeah, he was giving them hell on defense. But the Eagles, man, just, I think when they look back, that one play, even though it didn't lose the game, it did shift momentum a bit because they were just rolling at the time.
Yeah. The fumble, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brendan, fly Eagles fly in the first half. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the difference is that the Chiefs have all that experience, right? So the Chiefs have been there before. They've been in these big games. The Eagles, they're pretty much a young team, and they don't have the experience. I've been on that same team, you know, the year before we made this. Actually, when I was in Chicago, when we lost the Super Bowl, it was kind of the same thing, kind of a younger team, a team that never experienced that type of momentum being, you know, that pressure being on top of you and being in that big of a game. During the regular season, we've seen the Eagles come back and we've seen them come from behind and we've seen them crush teams. Mm-hmm. But it's different in the Super Bowl. When you get behind, the pressure is so much more than any other game. I'm sure you can ask Lofo about it as well, but the pressure is just so much more when you get behind in Super Bowl, especially as the game gets later compared to other games. In other games, you always think, oh, we can come back, we can win. But in the Super Bowl, for some reason, you kind of shrink and you just don't know if you can come back. And the Chiefs, they knew that they could come back and win even in the biggest game. Yeah, and that's just experience. And that's what I saw happening is kind of the Eagles came out strong and just slowly just started to shrink as the game got bigger and the Chiefs got bigger.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say, it almost seems like the script was laid out perfectly. I mean, even the commentators in the first half were saying, you know, you can't count out Mahomes. He's never out of it. You know, there's always a chance. And even after he got injured, they were like, ah, there's still a chance. And he had a chance because it's, you know, the Super Bowl has the longest halftime. And I posed the question to producer Katie on the Monday after the Sunday, I said, who really won the Super Bowl, the Chiefs or Rihanna? Because guys, that halftime show, I mean, I'm not like a big pop guy, you know, like I don't follow Rihanna or anything like that. If you said, oh, Rihanna's performing, I said, oh, okay, great, whatever. I take it or leave it. But I love that halftime show. Can we pause for a second and talk about the halftime show?
I didn't even see it. I'm not going to lie. I was signing autographs and taking pictures.
Ah, whatever. Get out of here.
I will say she had a lot of hits.
You. If I could mute you, I would. I'd go straight to Brendan.
Okay. Let's send it to Brendan then.
were you watching the platforms and the dancers and all the stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I was at a Super Bowl party, right? And I was at a party and there was like 300 people there.
Okay.
The peak of the party was that, like, I was there to watch the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's 300 people there. It was probably 150 of them were women. And that was the loudest that party got was at halftime. The peak of the night was halftime. Everybody saw that she was pregnant and then all the dancing and all that. And then she hasn't had an album out in forever. So everybody wants to see her and hear from her and all that. So it was a treat for us. I think it was great for the Super Bowl. I think it was great for the culture. There was nobody, you know, you're like, oh, where is there going to be a cameo? Who else is going to come on? It was just Rihanna. And I thought it was deserving. So
she doesn't need anybody, man. She's the
queen. But shoot, even Meryl Smith or everybody has somebody, right?
No, I mean, I'm saying
that had Dre and Eminem came out.
Mary J. Everybody. No, listen.
I hear you, and I'm not arguing with you. I'm saying what I realized that about halfway through, three quarters way through, also, and especially at the end. And I thought to myself, well, I love it. I love it. She's standing there on the platform. She's pregnant. She's in. I mean, imagine her view, by the way, at the end of that performance. She's standing by herself on that platform, suspended in the middle of that stadium, and just taking her moment. Like, this is me. I'm it. Like, you know, I don't need anybody else. I thought it was powerful. It was awesome. I loved it. Lofa, yeah, you missed the whole thing.
The expecting was great. No, I thought it was awesome. And then you got to give something to everybody. It's the Super Bowl, right? It's like the biggest watch thing in the world, right? So everybody.
There was 15 million that tuned in or something like that. 115 that tuned in for the game. An extra 3 million or 4 million tuned in for halftime as well.
Oh, yeah.
So wow. No, I missed the show. But hey, right on, man. I heard it was awesome.
It was
YouTube, Lofa, YouTube.
Yeah, check it out, man. It was really cool. But so it was a super long halftime, which gave them time to patch up Patty Mahomes because he came back out and he had a second half for the ages, huh? What goes on? You guys are both players. You guys both played in the biggest game. What goes on at halftime? And there is that extended halftime because of the musical performances. So all that rolled into one. You both have been there, and especially with guys who might have been banged up in the first half. What goes on at halftime?
Brandon, I'll let you take this one first.
Well, the pregame is twice as long, and the halftime is twice as long.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fortunate enough when I played in Chicago and we played Indianapolis, it was Prince singing Purple Rain at halftime. We're dialed in and we're tuned in. So like, I didn't participate in any of the fanfare. Like we're in the locker room and so long, you just sit down, you relax, you do heat, you put some carbs into the system and then you game plan. Right. When we're in Baltimore and we're playing the 49ers, it was Beyonce at halftime. So Terrell Suggs is out there looking and dancing to Beyonce a lot looser. And we're up by a ton too. You know, we're up by a couple touchdowns, maybe 17 points or whatever. Then we came out at halftime and we scored another touchdown off a kickoff return from Jacoby Jones. But Jones. Yeah, it was a lot looser in the Ravens locker room. But I think I enjoyed that experience a lot more. Obviously, we won the game versus losing the game, but you just have a lot more time. So you just kind of got to relax. The thing I realized when I played in Chicago is that I was toast before the game even started because I was hyped the whole pregame. Then we halftime, I was even more tired because I was hyped on the field and I was hyped at halftime. I'm like, man, just sit your butt down and relax. And that's what I did in my second.
Well, but that the Super Bowl, the Niners Ravens one, there was a layoff in that one also because that's the power outage one also.
And then the sound as well, right?
Kind of two delays in that one. Well, I guess
that was like a 30-ish minute delay as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Lofo, what goes on at halftime at the Super Bowl, especially with Patrick there? Well, I mean, they had to get treatment quick.
Treatment. I mean, you do whatever it takes to get back on the field. Now, I'm not going to say they shot him up or whatever, but you
Varsity Blues style.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Kilmer, shoot that ankle up.
That needle goes anywhere near his knee. You find yourself another running back.
Yeah. But I tell you what, I mean, you know, whatever they did worked. He's an incredible competitor.
Yeah.
And I think that's just really what it comes down to because, you know, I mean, it looked like he broke his leg back in that championship game or a couple weeks ago in divisional, whichever game it was in. And he came out and played fine in the championship. And then he had 2 weeks that he felt better. But then once it gets tweaked again, a high ankle, and you know, Brendan, that it feels like you're back to square one and you can barely, it just feels like you're walking on like a peg. Like you can't even feel your foot. That's how bad it is. You can't get on the toe. And then for him to pull off those gutsy scrambles, one, I was hoping he was going to get in the end zone on that one towards the goal line. And then the other one where he just took off and got the first down. It was incredible. Just the will, the sheer willpower to propel his team, put him on his back and say, hey, let's go, boys. I got this.
Yeah, I mean, he was in some pain, man. That guy, he got landed on the back of both ankles, really, on that one. Yeah. In the first half there, but yeah, gutsy performance by him. And you know, Brendan was talking about historic Super Bowl, first black quarterback to win two, Patrick Mahomes now. So there's some history. And I mean, I guess we're just destined to watch him in nothing but commercials in every commercial now from now on, because he's got the second one. I thought I could get a reprieve if Jalen got the win, but nope. It's all Pat Mahomes and all State Farm all the time from now on.
People love winners, man. Yeah, the kid's a winner. You can't say it enough. It's unbelievable the pace he's on. And for them, you know, they said they were going to retool. They lost everybody, you know, all of his weapons. And he's never had a consistent run game, you know. And so it's just like it's really all on his shoulders. Him, Kelsey. And Juju, he stepped up big, you know, in the moment and made some plays. And you know, they might have gotten some help from the officiating at the very end.
Right, well, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted to go there now. Well,
first, I was going to go Brother Bowl. Kelsey, the Chief Kelsey won. The Eagle Kelsey lost. The Chief Kelsey already had one. The Eagle Kelsey didn't have one. How do we feel about how it ended up for the brothers?
He didn't have – he wasn't there on the 7 team that won that they beat I think he beat the Patriots, yeah.
So they both already have one?
I think they both had one. There was no losers in this game. I mean,
Bruce or Katie.
Nah, you that's told it. Me
you
that.
You got to check the script next time, really. Me. You put in the script.
I'm pretty positive they both have one, which is why it was kind of a no-lose situation for the Kelsey family.
We'll look it up.
But being on the losing end, you know, it's tough. So, I mean, I guess – you know, it's you work your ass off to get to that game and you're thinking about it since you're a kid. And it is one of the most heartbreaking feelings, you know, that I've ever been through. And so now I'd like to throw it over to someone that's won it and tell us what it's all about. Brendan.
Well, I mean, I have an L there as well. And I think, you know, the thing that the way that I felt about it is that the loss hurts more than the win feels good.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
That loss that I had been carrying, you know, luckily I was able to avenge it, you know, like 5 years later or whatever, but just that loss. And you think about like all the times, like, oh, I lost the Little League championship. I lost a championship in high school. Like you carry all those losses, right? So I do think that, you know, those losses, when it's all said and done, not having been a Super Bowl champ, like I can at least erase those, but like just carrying that feeling, when you think about that loss, it stings more than, oh, I'm a Super Bowl champ. It's like, oh, I'm a Super Bowl champ. But like you, Lofa, you're like, oh, I lost one. And like your energy goes down.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Tears coming out of your eye and Brett's getting you a Kleenex, you know? So It was a great feeling to win it, especially like that day, that week, that month. And then all of a sudden there's the next one the next year, and then there's somebody else the next year. So it, you know, it is a fleeting feeling, but it's something that no one will ever be able to take away from you. And especially that experience with the guys, the coaches, the families, and all the stuff that you go through in that entire season. You remember those things. And maybe even the season before, we're in an AFC championship the season before against the Patriots. And we lost, you know, off a missed field goal. Then the next year we're back in Foxborough, and then we won that game in Foxborough. And then just leading up to the divisional game, we had a bomb from Jacoby Jones and Joe Flacco. Yeah. And just think about just the path that we had to get there. Ray Rice had like we had a fourth down conversion just to make the playoffs. It was like fourth and 26.
Fourth and 20,
I remember that. Yeah.
And we win the game. So like, it was like our destiny, but all the little miracles that had to happen for us to get there, and a wild card team playing on the road. Actually, you know what? We weren't a wild card team, but we played just one home game against the Colts to get there. And then the rest were on the road. But I think, you know, even thinking back on the losses, when you lose one, you still have all those little miracles to get there. You just didn't finish it off, right? So
when you guys housed that, when Hester housed that kick, I was like, oh, it's on. Like this defense, you know, against a prolific offense, I was like, this is like what, as a football fan outside of being a player, you're like, this is what you live for. And so I was, man, I remember that game.
Jason Kelce does have a Super Bowl. He already did have one. So the Kelce brothers both already had one.
And the Angel brothers both have a Super Bowl ring too. My brother won on the 2000 Ravens team. So
nice.
In our lineage as well. Not just the Kelce boys.
The Mannings both got rings.
Amazing.
All right. Nice. Well, hey, so Lofa, I mean, you brought it up, but the end of the game there, I mean, one of the best games I've ever seen, back and forth, all of that. I mean, I don't know if it necessarily would have changed the outcome. Eagles would have got the ball back with definitely some more time left, and you can't count out Jalen, and you never know what would have happened. But they made the call. I'm sure you're going to tell me you hate it. I hate it too. I thought it was a limp way to end a great game, and it just sort of took the air out of the end of it, and it was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, it was over at that point. I mean, they're just going to kick a chip shot field goal with a great kicker. But it's just third and eight, you know, and the ball, it wasn't sufficient enough. I get it. It's a hold, right? You know, you got to call it. But third and eight, that time left on the clock for Hurts and the Eagles to come back. It was a sad way to end it. And because if you don't call that, they kick it anyways. And no one's sitting here like, oh, well, that should have been a hole. Yeah, people like fans will, you know, cry about that, but it's not going to be. It's all over TV right now. It's all over. It's all I've been seeing on TV is like, oh, why'd they call the hold? And so I just thought, and I think the more interesting fact is I was watching one of the SportsCenter shows and not one other hold was called in the game. No. So that was the only hold call.
Yeah. You know, if you go back and watch the Super Bowl from last year, a lot of people are throwing this little clip out on Twitter that last year's Super Bowl, there was a little suspect call over the middle against the Bengals in the Rams game in a very similar situation that allowed the Rams to get a first down and then go ahead and win
Logan Wilson.
A lot of people crying a little more foul than just like a ticky tack call, but you know, that's for internet conspiracists. Brendan,
I was more upset about that one, to be honest.
Okay,
because Logan Wilson had phenomenal coverage on Cooper Kupp, and you know, that's just a situation where an all-star wide receiver is going to get a call on a linebacker. That's just how it's going to go.
Yeah, similar situation. Brendan, the call in this one, or you could take them both if you want.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen worse PIs not called. We've seen like clear PIs not called in games before, and then, you know, all of a sudden the owners were like, oh, do we want to start reviewing PI, which would have been kind of a slippery slope, right? So
weird for a season. Remember that?
I would like to have seen Jalen Hurts get one more chance, but at the end of the game, I kind of saw everything I needed to see on the last play where Jalen couldn't even throw the football.
He slipped.
Yeah.
Oh, did he slip? I didn't see that he slipped because I know he had some shoulder stuff, But oh, you're kidding, right? But no.
No, I'm saying he slipped. It looked like his left leg kind of. Yeah. So there was.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at his arm because I'm like, okay, let's see like what's really up with the shoulder. And so based on what I saw, I didn't see a slip, but maybe he did, right? But based on what I saw, he couldn't even barely throw the ball down the field by the end of the game. So if he did slip, that would make sense. But I would have liked to see Jalen Hurts get one more opportunity to try to win the game and see what the Kansas City defense would have done. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, there's so many plays throughout a game that it's hard to just single out one play to say that this cost them.
You know, it was surprising to me, Brendan, because they were backed up late in the, I think it was the third or early fourth, and third and two, they had always, you know, ran the ball or, you know, tried to get to fourth and one. Even if it's fourth and one, we'll do the QB sneak. And they chose a drop back pass, and pressure got there. He rolled out, went to the left, and kind of overthrew it. And I was just like, that was odd that they changed, you know, what was working, you know, just one time. And maybe it was because they were backed up, you know, thought they might have an opportunity at a shot play. But yeah, man, that was the one drive that kind of stalled, that kind of like was like, right. Oh, here goes the now Mahomes show.
You get under pressure and then you start to change what you do. Why would you change what you do? But there was a pass earlier in the game. I think it was either the first or second quarter to AJ Brown. And it wasn't a good pass and he threw it. And AJ Brown just made a really good play, and the DB didn't make that good of a play, but it wasn't that good of a ball. It was, it should be 50 balls, what it should have been, but the DB just really misplayed it, right?
AJ,
For Kansas City on the sideline, what the hell? Like, this is a normal ball, right? It's not even a good pass. Yeah. But AJ Brown pulls it in and scores a touchdown.
He faked
that was early in the game.
Yeah, he faked in to get the DB to like turn like, oh, it's underthrown. And then he swam over. It was just a beautiful adjustment, but it was not a great ball. Like Brendan said
right there. And then some bad DB play. So when I saw that play, I'm like, his arm's not, you know, he's not throwing these spectacular passes. He's got great receivers though. But so that's why I wanted to see him later in the game to see what he was going to do.
How about speaking of slippage and stuff, what about the field? I mean, they keep having Super Bowls there in Arizona. They complain about the field every time. And then this time they said on the broadcast that the entire field was painted, not just the end zones. But so I'm assuming they're painting it green to make it look good on TV. But it looked like a hockey rink out there for the players.
Yeah, they were slipping everywhere. Even Pacheco in his celebration, like, almost hurt himself. That's what it looked like. But and I think I'm going to go back and look and send you guys the Hurts, because the big windup just to throw it like 25 yards was kind of a letdown. And I know it's not the way he wanted, but it looked like his plant leg kind of slipped.
Well, the kicker slipped on a kickoff. He almost rolled his ankle. I mean, everybody was slipping, sliding out there.
You got to wear the right cleats.
But the thing about Arizona is it is a dome, and it's a grass field inside of a dome. So that field goes in and out. And so when you have fields that are, you know, coming in and out, like, that grass needs to sit there and it needs to like grow down, you know. Obviously they're trimming it up, but the grass needs to have roots. Sure. Otherwise, you're just going to go right through it. So it must have been a newer field, or, you know, not, you know, the grass hadn't grown in and kind of grew its roots into the dirt. But it's too bad, because you want to play on a fast, beautiful field. And California and Florida have the best grass fields.
It doesn't make any sense to
me. Bermuda grass.
I'm just a fan, you know. I didn't play or anything, but I'm just a fan sitting at home going, why wouldn't you want your championship game played on the best field possible so that you get the best teams going at it on the most? I mean, I know they're both playing on a slippery field, so it isn't even playing field, so to speak. But you'd think you want to showcase your game in a. I mean, come on, NFL. They make so much money; they could figure that out.
I mean, it looked pretty, but it was painted.
They just did the wrong thing. Yeah. You know, they just didn't. You know, it's logistics. It's the obviously you don't want to shit on the maintenance crew because they work so hard to do everything.
Yeah, they're trying the best they can, I'm sure.
Just like when the power went out in our game, it's like, it's not anybody's fault. It's just a miss. Things happen, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know about the nip slip when you had this, you know, the nip slip in the Super Bowl. Now that's different. You know, that was.
Oh, man. Gone are those days where anyone would care anyway. You got LeBron dropping the F-bomb in his speech. You got people. I mean, nobody cares anymore anyway. A nip slip would be like, would that even register if that happened these days? I don't know. Producer Katie shaking her head like it would. Okay. Right, whatever. Okay, so overall, though, you guys feel like we got the right Super Bowl champion out of this season?
Yeah, I mean, it was you play that game 9 out of 10 times, maybe the Eagles win one, but it was just to come down to the experience that Brandon mentioned is just it didn't matter what happened. Like the Chiefs believed, and that's what happens when you're used to that moment. And but I think the Eagles, they're you know, they can come back and make a nice little run here of being a regular at this game, and at least in the championship round. So
the last thing I actually forgot to ask was or mention is Andy Reid. We should talk about Andy Reid. Got another one. Everybody loves Andy Reid, I think, for the most part. Brendan, I asked Lofa before if he had an Andy Reid story. Do you have an Andy Reid story?
Man, I don't have an Andy Reid story, but he's like one of those coaches where he's like a lineage coach.
Yeah.
And so, his understudy was John Harbaugh. And so Harbaugh was my coach in Baltimore. So sure. He always loved Andy Reid. If you're always talking about kind of the coach that brought you up and you came under his kind of coaching tree, then it shows a lot of respect. So, and then even Dave Tobe, which was my special teams coach in Chicago, he's now with Andy Reid. So it just says a lot about Andy Reid's character that he could lead such mighty men like John Harbaugh and Dave Tobe, but he would always talk about them. And then they've had success. A lot of coaches that have coached under Coach Andy Reid have had success, and we'll see, you know, what's going to happen with Bieniemy. That'll be very interesting. But I think it's a respect thing. He couldn't get the championship with the Eagles. It's crazy that he was all these championship games. He was at such a high level, better than most coaches. And then they let him go. And then he goes to Kansas City where they're like, oh man, we'll take him. And then he goes and wins a couple of championships. And honestly, I don't know if he would have won those championships in Philly, to tell you the truth. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he had to leave to get those championships, but I'm so happy
teams, man, with Donovan and all that too. Yeah. Go ahead.
And there's a lot of talk. He said he has a decision to make. And he's thinking about stepping away. And I think he probably would only step away if he knows Bieniemy's going to get his chance, because Bieniemy's been on all these interviews every year after year. His name gets floated and does, you know, one, two interviews with the team and then doesn't get the job. So and I think, you know, for Reid, if he is, I'm sure he's content with his coaching career, you know, but it's just, I know it's got to be tough to like finally have everything set up the way he always envisioned. And then like, but either way, you're going out on top if you leave with the Super Bowl ring, and you know your team's in good hands if they do let Bieniemy take over, because he's been the offense coordinator for the last several years anyways. And so a lot of success it's Reid's system, but also play calling and everything going through Bieniemy. So I think they're in good hands either way. And Patrick Mahomes, man, I can't say it enough. Just injured, doesn't matter. Like if he's out there and there's time on the clock, you're in trouble. And so what they'll be able to do, it's all based around. And that this is why all other organizations chase that coveted quarterback, that one guy that can, no matter what, you're still in the game. Because, you know, other than Tom Brady, you know, Holmes might have two more, you know, if you didn't lose to him and Burrow. Like, we might have seen Mahomes in two more Super Bowls.
Yeah. Well, I much respect for Andy Reid as a coach. I like him as a coach, but I love him as an actor. So if he steps away, hopefully we can see some more of him in those State Farm commercials also, because he's fantastic. That wraps it up for the game. Lofa, not only do we want to have Brendan on this episode to talk some ball, of course, but we wanted to talk some muscle as well and some fitness. And we're going into the off season, everybody. And let's not forget, there are no off seasons, just like there's no IN team. Lofa, you two guys want to talk some fitness and I'll just hang out. What's the routine? Brendan, Lofa, both of you, you guys help me out. Help everybody listening out. What should we be doing and where are we going?
That's what I wanted to do more for the listeners, because I've been learning a lot from him my whole life. You know, always looked up to Brendan, and even just going through the bio, and I think it was 8 teams you were on before you finally got your chance with the Dolphins, you know, in the NFL, XFL, CFL. And, you know, so like what he's overcome, you know, the odds year in and year out to make it. And then because everybody, they look back, and they just see, you know, all the Pro Bowls, Super Bowl champ, All Pro. But they don't realize the grind it took. And then you know, I'm just starting to understand the health and wellness since, you know, I've post-career finding my best health and fitness. So I wanted to bring you on for the listeners also. And just, you can give us any tips or points that you would start, because a lot of people start, they go to the gym when their New Year's resolution, they do like 3 workouts a day, and all, but it starts with nutrition, correct?
Yeah, you're right, Lofa. It's like there's nutrition, there's sleep, and then there's workout, you know, after that, you know. But I think, you know, if the nutrition's dialed in and the sleep is dialed in, then that's really where you want to start. And then the workout's really the third thing that you dial in, but nutrition is probably first, you know. And people forget that it's a marathon. Like you said, the resolutioners, oh, I'm working out 3 times a day. No, we need to get you working out for 3 years straight, 3 months straight. Mm-hmm. I don't want to start with the big. Start with the small, right? Yeah. Let's go 3 days. Let's go 3 weeks. Let's go 3 months. But it's not 3 times in one day. So you got to think marathon, not sprint, and longevity. So not just killing yourself. Let's do a little something every day instead of going hard one day, then taking 2 or 3, 4 days off. Yeah. Just do a little bit something every single day. And then you start to see that nurture starts to override nature. And then you can nurture your body in the right way. And then you can be here for a long time.
You know what? I was an actor, or I am an actor. Am I still an actor, Katie?
You're definitely.
I am. I'm just not on anything right now. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so my going to the gym is like, you know, I do some curls, you know, I'm doing the actor workout, you know, some cardio, some curls, things like that. Now, and I'm getting older, I just want to play games and sports and stuff like that. Especially my kids are starting to play sports, so I'm coaching. I get out there and run around with them. And so my little non-athlete tip for anyone out there who just wants to kind of start getting moving and stuff, especially if you got kids, just start playing their sports with them. If they want to play basketball, start playing with them. It gets you moving. You're going to be sore as hell, but it'll get you moving, and you sign up for that gym membership down the road. Go ahead, Lofa.
Yeah. Okay. From a nutrition aspect, is there anything particular you do or things you stay away from? Just kind of take us down that road.
Yeah, it's a long list. And Brett, that's a great point. I mean, that's the easiest thing to do. Like if your kid's playing flag football, go out there and play catch.
Yes.
If your daughter's playing softball, go out there and throw the rock around with her, you know? So,
exactly.
From a nutrition standpoint, nutrition's highly personal, and it's very different for everybody. Broccoli could be bad for me, which you think broccoli is good for you, but broccoli could be bad for me and it could be great for you, Lofa. So that's on a more technical side, and that's what's in your gut and what's in your stomach. But I think just the common simple things you do kind of want to stay away from is artificials, preservatives, fake sugars, things like that, refined sugars. So you want to eat as natural as possible, and that's kind of just a good place to start. Then also, like when you look at your macronutrients, like how much fat, protein, and carbohydrates are you taking in? You want kind of a balanced approach to that. So the carbs will kind of be the most, and then the protein and the fat will kind of be balanced in, whether that's a 40, 30, 30, or whatever that split ends up being. It's a little bit different from everybody, but you want to eat natural foods. You want to eat whole foods. You want to eat, you know, you want to try to cook your foods as much as you can, opposed to eating out, because you don't know what's going into the meals.
Zoom, I think is, it sounds like I cut you off. I'm sorry. But where are the places people could go to that are the most natural of the places you can go to? Like, is it a Chipotle or something like that at all?
You know what's funny is the more specialized the restaurant, the higher the quality of the food is. So like a Chipotle, even though it's owned by McDonald's, they have their own farms. It's actually decent compared to going to some of the other places. Even a Chick-fil-A is better than, you know, say going to somewhere that has a lot of different varieties and stuff like that, because they have better chickens, you know? So yeah, if I want fast food, I do go to Chipotle, and you know, I'll get a chicken salad, or I'll get rice, but I can also make those meals. I can go to Whole Foods and I can make
them
together as well with the salads and the proteins and all that stuff. But yeah, I honestly, like, I eat as clean as I can for the fast life that I live. But like, if I need to go to Chick-fil-A and eat the chicken, you know, then I'll go and I'll eat the chicken and like, I'll enjoy my food too. So I might get one grilled chicken breast, and then I might get one regular Chick-fil-A chicken breast. And then throw it on a salad, and then I have, you know, plenty of protein. I'm getting 2 whole chicken breasts, you know, about 25-ish grams of protein in a chicken breast. So, and then, you know, if my kids are with me and we get fries, I might eat 1 or 2 fries, and they'll eat the rest of the fries. But I do want to enjoy my food, but also just try to limit the amount of bad food that I'm taking in.
And that's the moderation you spoke of when we first talked. And so, long story short, I've been following my man for, you know, years now, and he's just insanely shredded for all our listeners that can't see.
Yeah. Go
insanely
check him out.
Shredded. And so I finally just, you know, got up the guts. I was like, all right, bro, what do I need to do?
And he's
so
like, hey, man, I saw your physique. What's up?
I replied on one of his posts. I said, hey, do you have to do abs to get abs? Asking for a friend. And then so started the dialogue there, and then I hit him up and I was like, all right, what do I got to do? And then he said, we got to reset the system. So he just currently put me through a 3-day fast of tea, coffee, bone broth, no solids. And I did it. And I lost like 6-7 pounds. I went from 235-ish down to 228 was the final after the third day. And I think I see some abs coming in. So thank you, my man.
But the beautiful was though, he's like, oh, this sucks. Like the first or second day, then he got into the third or fourth day. He's like, oh, I feel good.
Ketosis. I'm like,
yeah, now you're just starting to tap in right now.
The mental clarity that comes once you break past that hunger, the pains, like on that first day, it's insane. And the energy that kicks in, it's so I'm thinking about toying with doing it maybe once a quarter, but it was an incredible reset. And it's changed my perspective on my relationship with food. Mm. And, you know, even in just 3 short days, and, you know, I'm opting for the healthier choice because I know the good stuff that I put in is going to be more productive, you know, in the long run.
And then the good thing that Lofa did too was portion control coming out of it, right? So he didn't want to just, oh, okay, I'm going to do a 3-day fast and just eat everything I was eating before. So we talked about, okay, what's your next meal? What's the first thing you're going to eat? And he's like, oh, instead of eating, you know, the 12 or the 16-ounce filet, he's like, I'm going to get an 8-ounce filet and then I'm going to cut down on the other portions as well. So what they say helps you cut down on your portions is just having smaller plates and smaller bowls. But I do want to feel hungry every single day. I'm 205 pounds, 210 pounds. I'm not hungry. I'm not starving, but I feel like I am. And it's just your gut telling you, oh, you're starving. You have to eat, but you're really not even hungry. You're not missing out on any nutrients. You just need to eat smaller. So I went from, you know, 225-ish down to 205, 210. I needed to eat like a 205-pound person. If you're 260 and you want to be 200 pounds, you have to eat like a 200-pound person eats. So you have to change the amount of calories that you're taking in. And so I had to operate at a deficit until I got to the weight that I wanted to. And then once I got to that weight, then I eat that amount for a 205-pound person. So I'm not operating at a deficit anymore. I'm just at homeostasis.
It becomes your normal. Yeah.
Well, right. Full Ketosis, man, which is the name of my new ska band, actually. Full Ketosis. Look for us coming soon. We're going to play Coachella this year, Katie. Woo! Brendan, is this, and I was going to ask you kind of what you're up to now. Is this what you're doing now? Are you fitness? Are you training people? Are you coming out with DVDs? What's happening?
Yeah, I have a DVD, my 24-day shred. No, I'm kidding. DVD, right?
You know, a DVD, can you imagine?
It was a DVD. No, so I own and operate 55 Orange Theory fitness locations pretty much in California.
Cool.
So it's high intensity interval training that's heart rate based. So we want to work smarter, not harder, but not under either. We want to work you just right in that right zone. So if you work in the right zone, then you can burn fat into the future. So that takes a little bit of high intensity interval training. So luckily we have the heart rate monitors. We have the technology to monitor all that stuff. And it's backed by science. So that's what I do now.
Orange
Theory is amazing.
They won't let producer Katie back at Orange Theory because she sweats too much. That's a thing. It's a personal thing.
That's never been a problem.
Now you're talking to the owner, Katie. Brendan, can we get producer Katie a membership?
Let's get her in.
Brendan said. Let's follow Brendan's family.
At the end of the day, it's like I love fitness, I love health, longevity, wellness, and then even from an aesthetical standpoint as well. You know, like I want to look young, but most importantly, I want to feel good, and I want to live a long, energetic life and play with my kids and my grandkids that I have one day. So I try to do all the measures that I can take. And the hardest decisions that you're going to make in your fitness are the decisions that you make most frequently. Mm. It's like, oh, am I going to drive my car 100 miles into a wall? Because you're going to die. But what you put in your mouth every single day, your 2 to 3 meals a day, maybe some people eat 6 meals a day, those will be the hardest decisions you make. The things that you do most frequently are the hardest things to change, those habits.
Well, and this whole thing right now, I mean, it's happening right now, but it also is the future. Also, this anti-aging and sort of reverse aging stuff. And there's a lot going on, a lot of research going on. It's fun, interesting.
I'm here soon.
Yeah.
I'm here soon, yeah. I'm not going to live long enough to be able to reap the benefits of it.
but you're on the cutting edge. You're one of the pioneers.
You're pioneer.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I feel like we could talk to you all day, and on an episode where we don't have the Super Bowl to wrap up, I'll ask you our list of questions that we usually ask our former ballers that join us. But we're kind of out of time, Lofa, unless there's anything else.
I could ask him more health questions, yeah. But I'll just keep DMing him.
Okay.
this is my new life coach. This is my new life coach.
I love it. So this is our last episode of this season, Lofa. Shout out to everyone for listening. Yeah. Shout out to everyone who sent in emails and hit us up on social medias. Lofa, your social media, just Twitter alone, you went from like 3,000 to almost 10 in one season. So you want to talk to all your new followers and say something to the listeners out there?
I just want to say thank you. Incredibly grateful for every single one of you. And all our sponsors, this show wouldn't be possible without that. So thank you so much. And yeah, man, it's always a sad time for me. I don't know if it's the same way for you, Brennan. When football ends, like when the Super Bowl is over, I just get kind of sad. But I wait for like free agency and the draft to ramp up. That's when I get really excited about football again. But you know, so it's been an incredible season. Our third season. It sent us to Germany trip. Which we'll be doing a little preview for next year. We'll be doing a couple road trips.
Yes.
You know, so hopefully maybe join us in one of them, Brendan.
Yeah, check our social media, everybody. We're announcing we're taking four trips next year to four away games. So check the Seahawks away schedule. We don't have the dates yet, of course, but we'll be announcing everything. And
we know the cities, all right?
Media. We know the cities. It's Nashville. We're going to go to Nashville. We're going to go to LA. We're going to go to New York and... What was the fourth one?
Dallas,
that's right. Yeah. So check it out.
We'll see you in LA.
We're taking those trips. Just thank you to epicseats.com. Everybody, you guys can still use them. The promo code still works. It's Take12. They give you an extra $12 when you're selling your tickets through them, if you mention Take12. And you get 12% off when you spend $100. It's epicseats.com. Shout out to betonline.ag. UFC and MMA still going on. NBA is on. NHL is on. Plenty of things to wager on. It's betonline.ag. The promo code is?
Take12?
No, Believe.
Oh, I got lost. You always change it
all season. Believe, spelled our way. BLEAV.
Believe 50.
Believe 50. Wiener Schnitzel. Fit My Foot. Who else, Katie? Come on, we got to get
Heritage
all in
Distilling
there.
Heritage Company.
Distilling.
Yeah.
I think that's it, right?
I think
is that it? Do we
know?
We
got them all.
Zone in?
All right, we're breaking it down.
Sorry,
so, Brennan, hand in the air. You can break it down to whatever you want. No, maybe not your college team. Please don't do that to me.
Oh, man.
But whatever the linebackers broke it down to or whatever you guys broke it down to, Vec, you know, so whatever you want on three.
All right, let's do it's Valentine's Day, right?
So there you go.
Let's just do love or let's do family on three. We'll do family on three, okay?
Yeah.
Family on three, family on me. One, two, three.
Family.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.